Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text number 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kim. Huh? Run 46. I was told 45. Is that wrong? They had the wrong mantra on the board? Yeah, 45 is Kim Itar Amanas Tuchai. Is that what's on the board? Huh? They say, oh, I see. Well, I was informed by Omkara, so this verse is... Okay. All right. Moving on. Okay. Text number 46. Nirupitam iha svaartha kiyan deha brita asara nisheka adishu avastasu klishamanasya karmadi. Nirupyatam iha svartha kiyan deha brito sura nisheka dishvavastasu klishamanasya karmabhi. Nirupyatam iha svartha kayandeha vritosara nishekadishvavastasu klishamanasya karmabhi. Ladies.
Thank you.
Nirupatam. Let it be ascertained. Iha. In this world. Svaartha. Personal benefit. Kiyan. How much? Dehabrita. Of a living entity who has a material body. Asara. O sons of demons. Nisheka. Adishu. Beginning from the happiness derived from sex life. Avastasu. In temporary conditions. Klishamanasya. Of one who is suffering in severe hardships. Karmabhi. By his previous material activities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, our Savior Srila Prabhupada. My dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, the living entity receives different types of bodies according to his previous fruitive activities. Thus he is seen to suffer with reference to his particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with his infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities which result in hardship and misery? Purport. Karmana daivanetrena jandra deho papatteye. The living entity receives a particular type of body according to his karma or fruitive activities. The material pleasure derived in the material world from one's particular body is based on sexual pleasure. Yan maitanadi griyamedi sukham hitu cham. The entire material world is working so hard only for sexual pleasure. To enjoy sexual pleasure and maintain the status quo of material life, one must work very hard. And because of such activities, one prepares himself for another material body. Prahlad Maharaj places this matter to his friends, the Asuras, for their consideration. Asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sexual pleasure, the so-called pleasure of materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Yadeshatarine. How fortunate we are, actually. Prabhupada has saved us from the shackles of sex life. Material world, we were thinking sex pleasure is the all in all. This boy-girl enjoyment is the greatest pleasure. Of course, It is the greatest pleasure, but not for us. The original pleasure is boy and girl, Radha and Krishna. But our position is to serve that supreme boy-girl enjoyment, Radha Krishna. Not to try to take that position ourselves. Some may say, well, it's not fair. Why Krishna gets to enjoy it? Why not me? But actually, it's not at all, you're not at all being cheated by Krishna, because actually, Krishna feels, and Krishna can see very clearly that actually being a devotee of Krishna is better than being Krishna, more enjoyable. This is why Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. He wants to increase his pleasure even more. He finds more pleasure becoming the devotee of Radha and Krishna than he does enjoying Radharani. So it's not at all that we are being left out. Actually, the devotee is being given the greatest pleasure to become the devotee of Krishna. The devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. And it's actually nothing more relishable than this. So Prahlad Maharaj here is trying to help his poor asura friends. You see, he takes them as friends, even though they are asuras, he's taking them as friends. This is Vaishnava, you see. He's friendly to all living entities. He's friendly to devotees. He's friendly to non-devotees. He has no animosity towards anyone. He simply wants to help everyone. This is why it is stated, the Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. He wants to see that everybody will be happy. But Lord Maharaj, he says, personally, I have no problem. But one problem I have is so many living entities are caught up in this karma chakra. And my problem is somehow I have to deliver them. So it is this great compassion of the Vaishnavas that is our hope. It is this great compassion of the Vaishnavas which is saving us from this material existence. This is how Prabhupada captured us all, actually, is by his love. No one could love us like Prabhupada. I look back at those letters that I got from Prabhupada. They were just oozing with oceans of love. Nobody was so kind, so considerate, so sweet like Prabhupada, you see. So even though we were captivated by sex, by drugs, by impersonal philosophy, so many artificial attempts to be happy, we actually could taste, we could experience, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this Krishna consciousness is far superior happiness. You see, if you have nothing better, it's very difficult to give up material sense gratification. The Mayavadis try to do that, but it's an extremely difficult position. Therefore, they ultimately fall down. Even if they do great austerities and penances for thousands and millions of years, and finally attain Brahman, Aruya Krishna, Padam Padam, Patanti Yadho, they fall back again to material existence because they don't get that taste of bhakti. That taste of bhakti is so sweet, it's so sublime, it's so fine that nothing can compare to it. The bliss of Brahman realization multiplied millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of times can't equal even a fraction of a fraction of an infinitesimal fraction of a drop of the pleasure of Krishna bhakti. So to give up this sex pleasure, to become brahmachari, you see, it appears impossible for a materialist to conceive of such a thing. But by the sublime process of Krishna consciousness, the gradual awakening of the original natural tendency to be fully absorbed in the service of Krishna 24 hours a day. That pleasure is so far superior, so far superior. Just like that Maharaj Jamunacharya, yes, of Albandra of South India. He previously was a very licentious king, so much sense gratification he was having. But when he came to Krishna consciousness, he experienced such a sublime pleasure. He wrote very nicely, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa ramanun yatarantu maasit tadavadi bhattanadi sangame smayamane babadi mukashushtu nishtimanam cha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving nava, nava rasa, newer and newer pleasure in that transcendental loving service to Radha and Krishna. Whenever the thought of sex crosses my brain, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. Yes, it's actually spittable. The thought of sex pleasure for the pure devotee. Of course, we may have sex for producing Krishna conscious children, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati stated. I'm prepared to have sex 100 times if I can produce Krishna conscious children. But that is only for procreation. A devotee has no interest in recreational sex. Simply, his recreation is Krishna consciousness, that's all. The pleasure of Krishna consciousness far exceeds any material pleasures. Completely defeats all types of material pleasures. And that's why it's advised, if one has an attachment, he wants to continue enjoying society, friendship, and love, that he should not chant Hare Krishna. Because if he chants Hare Krishna, he will lose his attachment for these things. This is confirmed by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.239. He says, Smaran bhangi trayapachitam sachi vishtirna dishtim vangshi nastadaram kishalayam udram chandakena govindakyam haritanam itaha keshi trupatakante ma prakshishas tadavyadi sake bande sangu sarangaha. One gopi, she's talking to her gopi girlfriend. She says, my dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any attachment for society, friendship, and love in this world, you see, if you have any bandhu, sangha, ranga, if you have any attachment to go on enjoying society, friendship, and love in this world, then don't you dare go to the bank of the Jamuna tonight to see that smiling boy Govinda. Wow, is he good looking. He's casting sidelong glances and he's placing his flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body bending so beautifully and poetically in three places is shining very bright in the moonlight. So my dear Sakhe, do not go, do not go, do not go. Don't you dare go there. Well, what did that gopi girl do when she heard that? She made a beeline for Keshikan. I gotta check out this boy. You see. So actually, it's a great warning. It's called reverse psychology, you see. This gopi is using reverse psychology. So there's a great warning. If you want to continue trying, enjoying society, friendship, and love, then don't you dare go to the Hare Krishna temple at 3764 Watsika Avenue. Don't you dare get close to that place. Because you go there, you forget this Bandhu Sangharanga. So-called enjoyment of this material world. I mean, this is so superior. Even Brahmaji can't enjoy this unless he's a devotee, you see. There's no material position, no material pleasure. Nothing comes close to the pleasure of these two syllables. Krishna. Do you know how much nectar there is in Krishna? No, we don't. We don't know how much nectar there is in Krishna. We can never know how much nectar there is in Krishna because there is unlimited nectar in these two syllables, Krishna. You can't ever fathom it. You can't ever get all of it. Rupa Goswami is praying for millions of tongues and millions of years so we can get just a little bit more of that unlimited nectar. And he says, when that name Krishna is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is totally captured. You see? The yogis are on this principle, yato yato nischalachi. You got to keep bringing your mind back, you see, from wherever it wanders. Keep bringing it back, that little rascal mind, that monkey mind, you got to bring it back. Okay, come back, rascal, come back. But for someone like Rupa Goswami, there's no question of bringing the mind back to Krishna. He's swimming in this unlimited ocean of nectar. The holy name is dancing in the courtyard of his heart and he's completely stunned. He's paralyzed in transcendental ecstasy, you see. So if you really want the bliss, Prabhu, you just got to get into the name. That's the bottom line. You just got to get into that name deeper, 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 deeper. We got to be deep sea divers here. Just go deep, 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 deep into the ocean of the name. Let's see. And then you got everything you want. When you have the name, you have everything. Why? Aham sarvasya prabhava mataksa vartate. Krishna says everything emanates from me. Is there any difference between the name and Krishna? The name Krishna is Krishna. So everything that exists is emanating from these two syllables, Krishna. So when you have Krishna, you have everything. Therefore, devotee is called Atmaram, you see. Because he has Krishna. He is Krishna Ram, the enjoyer of Krishna. You see? He has everything. When he has the name, he has everything. A devotee cannot be lacking in anything. Well, why am I so frustrated then? Well, I'm not completely pure, you see. There's no fault with the process. The only fault is with us. We are not pure. We're holding on to material desires. That is the difficulty. This process is absolutely perfect. Prabhupada has not cheated us. Prabhupada has given us the most incredible formula for achieving pure, unadulterated bliss that goes on increasing forever and ever and ever. Brahma saukyam tmanantam. We simply have to capture it. By what? Lalyam, greed. We must become greedy for bhakti instead of greedy for name, fame, profit, adoration, and distinction. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kuto palavyate tattalayam apimuyam ekalam janmakoti sukritairana talabhyate. This is the wonderful Sanskrit verse from which our Krishna consciousness word, Prabhupada, has derived. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. That is Krishna consciousness in Sanskrit. This is the Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita movement. So, the translation is, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lifetimes. It can be attained only by paying one price, intense greed to obtain it. And then Rupa Goswami advises, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So where do you get that Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita? Where do you get it? I mean, they sell it over at the grocery store. I mean, where do you pick it up? I mean, it sounds pretty good. Actually, it is contained within a special medicine called Premanjana is described by Lord Brahma. The ointment, you have to anoint your eyes with it, and then you get it, you see. You have to anoint your eyes with the salve of love of God. Usually for eye ointment, you know, you kind of take a little tube, you know, and you put it up here in the corner of your eye, and you blink a little bit, and it spreads it out. But this ointment is quite different. This ointment you apply through your ears. And you ever heard of an eye ointment applied through the ears? This is quite unusual. Very unusual medicine. Of course, our Srila Prabhupada, you know, previously he was a pharmaceutical businessman. He had that Prayag Pharmacy, you know, Abhay Chadan Day and Prayag Pharmacy. So Prabhupada didn't give up being a pharmacist. He just switched medicines. He went from Dr. Bose's medicine to Dr. Krishna's medicine. Premanjana. The ointment of love of God. Prabhupada, ISKCON is actually a pharmacy. And we have one medicine here, and that is Premanjana. So you will take that medicine from the topmost pharmacist, the dispenser of Premanjana, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, you see. Then you will become reawakened. We will become reconnected with our actual eternal identities instead of all these false identities, you know, upadis. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm black. I'm white. I'm this. I'm that. So much garbage identities. We have been trying to enjoy for millions and billions of lifetimes, trying out every conceivable way to enjoy. Well, I couldn't enjoy in this way, so let me try in that way, in this way, in that way, millions and millions of times. Jalaja navalakshani stavadalavsha vingshati krimiya rudya sankhyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam Trinja lakshani, Parshavaha, Chatur lakshani, Manashaha. Not only once through this 8,400,000, but again and again and again, go looping the loop through the 8,400,000 species again and again. Well, I tried it once, maybe I'll try it again. Try to get some nectar, but you know, no matter how hard you squeeze it, panakpanash charvita charvananam. There's just no juice. There's nothing there. It's just simply frustration. We were thinking we could enjoy separately from Krishna. Krishna didn't punish us by sending us here. Krishna facilitated our desire to try to enjoy separately from Him. So we could check it out and be convinced we can't really do it, so we can come back to our original position. Krishna's not mean, He's not nasty, He's not a punishing God, He's a loving God. He has nothing but pure love for all of His devotees. And actually every living entity is His devotee. There's no such thing as a demon, actually. A demon is simply a covered devotee. That's it. So Krishna is giving us full facility. Now it's up to us to take it or leave it. His topmost messenger, His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, has come to save the entire universe. It's actually predicted, as I've quoted many times here in this temple room. It's predicted this movement will actually inundate the entire world by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He says, this Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami, it's a tidal wave of love of God. And it will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they are lame, invalid, or blind. So how fortunate we are that we get to be to serve Prabhupada in this way, to help him, to bring this new era of Chaitanya to this planet, to bring in this tidal wave of Krishna Prema. We're the most fortunate person, actually. I can't imagine how fortunate. It's really inconceivable how fortunate we are. It's inconceivable how much we have actually been blessed to have this opportunity to give our whole lives to Srila Prabhupada's mission. It's just inconceivable. But it's tangible. It's real. It's not imaginary. It's not, you know, some pseudo-happiness, the maya sukaya. This is the genuine pleasure of the soul. There's no comparison to this. Not in anywhere in the three worlds, the 14 worlds. There's nowhere you can get this pleasure outside of pure bhakti. Nowhere. The yogis can't get it. The jnanis can't get it. This is the exclusive benefit of pure Krishna bhakti. Pleasure of Krishna consciousness. So, Prahlad is really trying to convince them. But they are hard to convince. The material energy has so much captivated the people, it is very, very, very difficult for them to come out. They're actually thinking that they're happy here. But their happiness, what is that happiness? Simply an illusion. That's simply an illusion. They're not tasting real happiness. But because they are happy by nature, anandamayo vyasat, because the living entity is happy by his very nature, if you put him in a suffering condition long enough, he will think that he's happy. Because it's inconceivable to the living entity that he could live without happiness. Therefore, he imagines the unhappiness to be happiness. Just like there was one book back in the 60s written by Richard Farina. I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. So in this way, they imagine this suffering condition to be a happy condition. But how long can you go on deluding yourself with false happiness? You see, eventually you'll reach a point where you say, enough is enough. I'm tired of this so-called happiness. I want genuine happiness. You see. And then one is ready. Atato brahma jigyasa. Then one is actually ready to find out what is that genuine happiness. And when one comes to that state of sincerely seeking genuine happiness, then Krishna mercifully connects one with the bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide Vaishnavas, bona fide scripture, the holy name, prasadam, you see. When one is serious, I've had enough of this damn nonsense, so-called happiness in this material world. I want real happiness, you see. Then Krishna very kindly sends the pure devotee, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, and his representatives to bless us with the actual formula how to become happy, how to become sane, how to become psychologically balanced, how to become actually in tune with the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna. You see? So this is our great good fortune. If we take advantage of it, our lives will become absolutely free of stress, free of distress. Any stress or distress we take will be transcendental. A devotee willingly takes on distress for the sake of pushing forward the Krishna consciousness movement. And that voluntarily accepting distress, that is called austerity. That austerity is described in Bhagavad Gita as the wealth of the brahmanas. Now, if you have a businessman, you say, my dear sir, how would you like to become a billionaire? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. The more I have money, the more I'm happy, you see, a businessman. But for a Brahmin, it's the more he can embrace austerity, he becomes happy. That is his happiness. For him, that's like money. It's better than money, you see. For the businessman, for the politician, the more he has power, the more he has happiness. The businessman, the more he has money. And the Brahmana, the more he has, he can accept austerities. That is his happiness, you see. He's not interested in a life of sense enjoyment. He's interested in austerities. Voluntarily embracing suffering for the sake of the fallen conditioned souls. This is his great happiness. So anyway, maybe there's some questions. And you got to speak up like a radio announcer because this body is pretty deaf. And hearing aids don't work that good for me either. Yes, Manishi.
For great.
Did you say path or past?
Path.
Okay. Is this person having a relationship with this person favorable or unfavorable? Is that your basic question?
Or is
Maya's arrangement?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, the thing is, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, if you're genuinely sincere to achieve pure bhakti, you see, then Krishna will give you the intelligence. Yeah, this is actually very good for my Krishna consciousness. Actually, according to Vedic culture, it's very good for a woman to have a husband. So if a woman wants to be married, that is actually her duty, according to Vedic. Of course, it's not forced. But if a woman has that desire, she shouldn't think this is Maya. But one has at the same time, you don't want to be carried away by the senses. Because it's very easy, you know, because that's our nature. We've been running after the opposite sex for millions of lifetimes. Lusty, you know, I mean, it's a fact. We've suffered from lust for millions of births, and that's why we're still here. So lust can easily cloud our intelligence. So we should really just really be very introspective about it, pray to Krishna, ask our spiritual master, ask senior devotees, ask temple authorities, ask people we really trust what is their opinion of this particular match, potential match. See, in Vedic culture, the marriages are completely arranged. Of course, we can't fully implement that in our society. Although some of our members from India do, they still follow that system. But for us Westerners, it's like inconceivable. But you just have to be really sincere, pray to Krishna, and consult with senior Vaishnavas what their opinion is, and be very cool-headed about the whole thing, and analytical and scientific about it, not emotional. That's what I would advise. Any other questions? Any other realizations you would like to share about this unlimitedly sublime process of Krishna consciousness? Yes, Maharaj.
In your class, you said that Srila Prabhupada was a pharmacist, but he changed the medicine. So this is a comment that I wanted to share. Srila Prabhupada had a friend from when he was in Grihastha Ashram, Professor O.B.L. Kapoor, who is also a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So I heard that he met Srila Prabhupada in Mathura, and before Srila Prabhupada came to the West. And he said, "You are a pharmacist," or in India they say chemist. "You know so many formulas. Can you tell me the formula for love of God?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I can." And Professor Kapoor asked, "Well, what is it?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Chinadapi sunichena tararapi sahishnina amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari." Hare Krishna. It means, someone asked what it meant? Yes. It means one should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respects to others, but not expecting any respect for oneself, and in that frame of mind, chant the holy name constantly.
Yay.
Hare Krishna.
It's really powerful medicine. Yes, Prabhu?
Devotee, after 40 or many years practicing, experience difficulty,
yes, it's like just like if there's a hurricane in it, on the surface of the ocean, the deeper you go, the less the influence of the hurricane is felt. And finally you get deep enough and there's no trace of the hurricane left. See, on the surface is a huge storm, the material modes of nature blowing a huge storm. But you dive deep into Krishna consciousness. The more you become Krishna conscious, the less you feel the effect of the storm. And finally you get to the where it's completely... you know, it's total tranquility. But the thing is, the devotee, he doesn't abhor the difficulties, as we see in Queen Kunti Devi. She's actually asking for difficulties because she finds that difficulties are very, very favorable for her Krishna consciousness. Papa gives the example of a businessman. When the market is up, when the prices go up, he sells. When the prices go down, he buys. So in this way, whatever the market is, his business is expanding and growing more and more and more. So a devotee is the same way. Whenever he takes happiness, he uses that as a springboard to increase his Krishna consciousness. He takes distress and uses that also as a springboard to increase his Krishna consciousness. So that way, it doesn't matter for him. Happiness and distress, he has equanimity. Samaha is described the quality of a brahmana. Samaha. You see, he sees everything the same. Oh, this is Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. I use everything, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, everything I utilize simply to become more and more and more Krishna conscious. He feels, oh, Krishna is blessing me with this distress. Thank you, Krishna. You're very kind. I was still holding on to this idea. I can enjoy this material world, but you are so kind. You've just give me this huge dose of distress today. Thank you, Krishna, for blessing me with this distress. Blessed with distress. It rhymes. Yes, you have to be humble. If you're puffed up, you know, you want it your way. Krishna, you have to give me Krishna consciousness the way I want it, Krishna. You see, that's pride. It's like so many people, they complain to me, you know, there was one businessman down in Chile, a devotee businessman, you know, chanting 16 rounds, and his business went down. He blamed Krishna. "Well, you made my business go down, I'm chanting, well, I'm going to stop chanting then." You see? He's dealing with... He's chanting it's some business deal with Krishna. I will chant if you make my business thrive. You take my thriving business away. Forget it. You're not going to get any mantras from me. You see? We can't take God in a fruitive way. We have to take him. Whatever you give me is mercy. You can take everything away from me. You can give everything to me. I'm completely your surrender. You can handle me roughly by your embrace or leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me in any condition, in all condition. You are simply my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Bus. Anything else? Does that satisfy you, Prabhu? Okay. Anything else? Everyone's happy now. Jai, Prabhu.
Thank you for your wonderful class. You were saying that austerity brings happiness to the Brahmanas.
Yes.
So what brings happiness to the Kshatriyas?
Power. The more he's powerful, he's happy. That's his power, you know. The higher the political office, the more power he has, the happier he gets. That's chapter. Yeah.
Thank you, Guru, for a wonderful class. I'm wondering if you could comment on the last sentence of Srila Prabhupada's purport.
In this verse today? Or a different verse?
On this verse.
Okay.
The last sentence of the verse. Srila Prabhupada says that asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sense pleasure, the so-called pleasure of materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor.
Yeah, they don't realize how much they become enslaved. Because of that desire for sex, they have to work like dogs, like donkeys. And it's just the example that Prabhupada gives, that old example we all remember of the donkey, you know. He's the washerman's donkey. He's carrying that big, huge load of laundry on his back between the village and the river, day in and day out, and he gets back just a little sex with the she-ass, you know, at the end of the day. He's thinking that he has to carry this, otherwise the master will let him starve, but he's so foolish, he doesn't see on both sides of the pathway so much grass is growing. So they become completely captivated by slavery, just so they can get that sex pleasure. They become slaves. And that sex pleasure is their pay for their slavery. You see? But one who can give up this sex desire, they don't have to work so hard. You see? One who is attached to sex, he has to work very, very, very hard to maintain his sexual enjoyment. But for one who is detached from sex, he doesn't have to work so hard. He can live much simpler, much easier as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. You see, then it simply very hard labor. Prabhupada gives that example of the word, what is that? That Sanskrit alphabet. The foaming in the mouth, hard labor, that whole, he analyzes that word for pavarga, the pavarga. He analyzes it, simply hard labor, so hard they're foaming in the mouth, working like donkeys, yeah. It's a subtle manifestation of sex desire, the desire to control and lord it over. It's subtle sex. Yeah. That's right. Pretty dangerous stuff. We have to be careful ourselves not to become party to such mentalities, controlling devotees. Be very, very careful. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a very common thing now in ISKCON. They say, well, you know, no illicit sex means no sex out of marriage. Even one time I was giving Diksha, I was shocked. And the what are the four regulative principles? No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and no sex outside of marriage. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not our principle. Prabhupada clearly states that sex is only for procreation. So this idea that we have to make some adjustments because, you know, nobody can really fairly follow it, it's bogus. It's just a matter of properly educating people. Because once you really learn how to taste the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, sex pleasure is just some, you know, it's some austerity practically, like passing stool. Once you actually understand and can relish the pleasure of Krishna's name, I mean, you don't need it. You don't really need it. Unless you want to have some kids, then you use it. You see? So this idea that we have to now accommodate everyone, that, you know, there's no way Prabhupada gave us a rule that's really too strict, that's not true. It's just a matter of higher taste. And that higher taste is right there, Krishna. We have to teach the devotees how to really relish the holy name, you see. And then sex pleasure is just something you do if you want to have kids. Otherwise, who needs them? It's just a botheration, otherwise. It's a botheration. Who wants it? It's hard, I know. I'm counseling many people who are having difficulty with it. So we're patient with them, we're kind to them, we help them gradually come to that point where they can actually qualify to be initiated disciples and use sex only for procreation and not for recreation. Huh? Say it again. Yeah. What do they say? We have to do this, otherwise it leads to divorce. It's a matter of proper training. It's simply a matter of proper training. If they think that we have to have illicit sex, otherwise our marriage will break, that means there wasn't proper training. Simply wasn't. They weren't properly trained. So we have to improve the quality of our training in ISKCON. We really do. So that will no longer be an issue. If they think that marriage... successful marriage requires illicit sex, it means they're just not properly trained up. That's a yes, Parameshwara Prabhu.
Their wedding vow. The wedding. The husband saying to the wife, promising the wife, I will help you to become a pure devotee. The wife is vowing back to the husband, I promise to help you become a pure devotee. That's the wedding vow in Krishna consciousness. So maybe they forgot that vow, but that is the real basis of a pure marriage in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. All right, right on. Very good. Thank you very much. Giriraj Maharaj.
Because the lady asked the question twice, I think she might be wanting a little more information, and I mean, there's a bit of speculation on my part, but I take the liberty of expressing the other argument a little more clearly. What I've heard is that they know the philosophy, but the husband and wife are not at the same level of advancement or austerity. One is able to follow and the other has difficulty. So the idea is that if the stronger one doesn't sort of cater to the needs of the weaker one will be frustrated, and that could ultimately end in divorce. I mean, it's not really anything. I mean, in one sense, your answer covers it all, but I just thought to maybe clarify what the underlying issue of the question might be. so that you could address it more explicitly.
I couldn't hear everything.
Sorry?
Thank you, Krishna.
But I couldn't, I'm sorry, I'm so deaf. I couldn't, you're talking about that they can, I couldn't, I heard half of it. Yeah. Then the stronger one has to be very merciful and kind. See, the thing is, in a marriage, sometimes they say, this is the love. They feel the love when they have sex. They say, this is why I feel my husband's love. That's what they think. So the thing is that one has to be very expert in dealing with one's spouse in a very loving way, by the way you speak to the spouse, all of your actions with this. They should feel they're getting love constantly, not just when they're in bed. You see what I'm saying? And then they'll be satisfied. It's a matter of really, really refining one's relationship with one's spouse. The way you speak in a loving voice. The way you deal with them, the way you're willing to help them with all their inquiries. It's like the duty of a husband is to answer the inquiries of his wife. Sometimes the wife inquires and they don't take the time to answer her inquiries, you see. If the husband actually does his duty as a loving husband to help the wife awaken her Krishna consciousness, she'll be very satisfied by that. She'll feel the love is always coming from her husband. And the desire for sex will evaporate gradually. Vice versa, true. The wife has to also be very kind to the husband. And, you know, it's a two-way thing. But see, love is actually the real loving. Real love means to connect with someone with Krishna. If I love you, I will do everything I can do to help you be connected with Krishna in every minute. You see, if we have that kind of relationships in our ISKCON marriages, all this illicit sex will go away. It'll just go away. I never forget. When I was a brahmachari back in Miami years ago, one morning a grihastha couple came up to me. The husband was speaking. He said, you know, I'm going to share something with you, Sankarshan. So last night my wife and I chanted 50 rounds for having a kid. And we got so high on the mantra, we decided to, let's wait till next month before we have sex. They shared it with me out of the blue. I was just standing there. He wanted to share the house. He was so excited that they had chanted 50 rounds. They were going to have sex. We were so high in the mantra. Let's wait till next month. I don't want to come down to the bodily platform. You know, even if it was Krishna conscious sex, as Krishna says I am, they still didn't want to come down to that level. They were relishing the name so much together, chanting their 50 rounds. I never forgot. This is the topmost pleasure of Prabhu. It really is. It's better than sex. Yes?
I see sometimes that some devotees try to find a partner. They cannot find a relationship in society and they go outside.
Yeah.
And that makes it more difficult.
Yeah, it is.
Because they're hoping to make somebody a devotee.
They become non-devotees. Yeah, that's a problem. It's a big problem. I know. I'm dealing with that situation right now with people that I'm counseling. It's very, very difficult sometimes. In this age, marriages are very difficult to arrange. Good marriages are very, very difficult to arrange. To find a good... It's not an easy thing. One has to be very sincere. But I know Prabhupada, he was very merciful. I remember I heard one tape years ago when I was in Dallas, back in 72. Prabhupada said, if any girl is chaste and a good cook, I will personally arrange for her marriage, Prabhupada said. So, if we're really sincere in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will make all facility. That's it. We just have to really be sincere, be patient, And understand, Krishna will always give me full protection and mercies. So we just have to always put ourselves under the feet of Krishna and beg for his mercy. And things will work out very nicely if we humbly place ourselves at Krishna's lotus feet. So it looks like we're maybe going over time a bit today. I don't want to hold up the programs, your daily schedules. So I thank you all very much for blessing me with your association today, especially my godbrothers here. I'm very blessed by seeing Makanlal Bhakti Madhurya Govinda. He's the first devotee who preached to me in Berkeley when I was a hippie in Telegraph Avenue. I never forgot, can never forget him. Eternally indebted to him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ooh.